You're Locked On Blue Jackets, your daily podcast on the Columbus Blue Jackets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, happy Wednesday. Welcome to Locked On Blue Jackets. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am, as always, your host, Jay Foster. Today, we have got a little bit of everything, really. I've got Laura Saba on the show to talk a little bit about the Josh Anderson and Max Domi trade and how that worked out a season later. I've got some talk about the NHL putting ads on jerseys, which everyone seems very upset about. And I've also got a little bit of a mailbag at the end, so that's exciting. I will get right into my conversation with Laura.
So we are going to talk about Max Domi, and we're going to talk about Josh Anderson, we're going to talk about David Savard, and all kinds of other stuff. But first, before we literally get into the meat of our episode today, I really wanted to bring up the NHL is going to have jersey ads, partly because it's something that we would have discussed on the show anyway, but also because my counterpart is all the way in the United Kingdom, and ads on player jerseys is something that, you know, lots of leagues in Europe have dealt with, not just in hockey, but other sports as well. And so, I mean, let's get into this at first. All right. So as Jay, you pointed out just before we started recording, it's only going to come in the 2022-2023 season. And right now we're talking a 3x3.5-inch patch on the jerseys. Am I off in that? Like, people are losing their minds on the internet over a 3x3.5 or 3.5x3.5 patch on a jersey?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't think I've seen a single positive thing to be said about this, which is bizarre to me because, you know, as you mentioned, like, I grew up in the UK. So, like, I grew up with soccer teams having sponsors on their jerseys that were bigger than the actual logo of the team.
Oh, yeah. You know? Like, you can, like, identify.
Like Premier League jerseys, yeah. It's the tiny little logo on the breast and then a huge, like,
Emirates
car dealership or something across the whole.
Yeah, Pirelli. Bit.
So, like,
right, like,
coming to the NHL was super weird because I was like, oh, these look super clean and there's no ads on them. But, like, at the end of the day, it, I don't know, people get all wrapped up in it. But for me, it just kind of feels like a return to normality because hockey teams over here, like, I have one of my UK jerseys hanging up in front of me, and we've got,
is it Sheffield Steelers?
It is not, because orange teams are bad. This is my Pride Weekend Manchester Storm jersey from January 2020. It's rainbow, it's very good. But the jerseys have, like, probably 6 or 7 different sponsors on them, and I don't know, it doesn't bother me in the same way that it seems to bother literally every man on the internet. Because
I think it's North American hockey fans. And here's the thing, is that a lot of people think that it's not the fact that there are ads, it's that they think that the small patch, like, the everybody last year said, like, you know, the little patch on the helmet is going to be a gateway to ads on jerseys. And look, that's exactly what happened. And they were right. But at the same time, people think that this little patch is a gateway to the European style jersey. You know, like, if you're looking at, like, a Swedish league or Finnish league, hockey jersey, you know, you're talking about 6 or 7 ads on those ones, like on the Finnish league or like, I'm thinking of maybe an SEL team, like, you've got, like, it's littered with ads. It's not 6 or 7. It's like 14 or, but somewhere between 14 and 50, right? It's just ads. It's ads on the sleeve. It's on the top of the sleeve, on the bottom of the sleeve, on the right, on the shoulder. It's ads everywhere. So I think that's what people are afraid of. And I don't think that the NHL would allow that to happen. And I think that, you know, it's kind of a perverse way to look at it because initially, like, people thought, all right, like, the patch on the jersey, the patch on the helmet is going to lead to patches on jerseys, and that's going to lead to bigger ads. But I think it's the opposite that happened, is that people saw, or the NHL saw, that there's patches on the helmets. It's not really disrupting much. It's not really changing the aesthetic very much. And, you know, the sponsors are people that obviously the NHL owed some make good to, but, you know, it didn't bother us. Like, I didn't notice the Bell logo on the helmet after the first day that, you know, people pointed it out. That was it. Like, they had it on and I literally did not notice it, you know? So, like, a little patch, I think, to me, is not that big a deal. It's not, I don't love it because commercial, you know, consumerism, blah, blah, blah. I hate all of that kind of stuff, capitalism, but it's a business and I understand how it works and why it works that way. Here's the thing. The NHL stands to make a lot of money from this ESPN deal. And they, you know, the more money that they make via ads, the easier it becomes for revenue sharing. And I think based on the COVID shortened season, this was not a lockout, this was like they had no choice, somebody pointed out that the disparity and the players quote unquote owe so much right now because they got paid for games they didn't play and all of that. And I think like anything that expands the revenue also expands the amount of money that players make, so it's kind of in everybody's best interest. The one thing that I will say though is that it will be disappointing if the NHL is accepting ads on jerseys and the price to enjoy a game as a family keeps skyrocketing. I mean, like I'm a single person by myself and I'm priced out of most Habs games. And especially, you know, even in the regular season, I meant. And so, you know, I'm just thinking of like, you're trying to take your kids to a game or you're trying to like, you know, go to a game with a friend or your partner or something like that, just how expensive it is. So like, if it keeps rising, if the prices keep rising, as they have been in the last few years, then that's going to be a big disappointment because as a lot of people pointed out, like this should, it should complement that and not be on top of that, if that makes sense. Like it shouldn't be that they rise, that the prices of tickets go up exponentially and the NHL is starting to accept ads. I think it should be the NHL starting to accept ads so that prices rise in a much more reasonable, at a much more reasonable pace, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. And just to go back on the Swedish league jerseys, is that you have to remember that hockey over here is not a $1 billion thing. You know? Like ads on jerseys because that's how we pay the players. You know, and I think people are scared that the NHL is going to turn into that, but like the NHL doesn't need to do that. I don't think they will do that. But like you look at the helmet ads, teams recouped over $100 million because of the helmet ads for one season. And like if that,
wow.
Yeah, like it's crazy.
That is blowing my mind. $100 million.
Yeah. So if they do that with this little tiny patch, then I don't see the issue. And you know, people are talking about, well, I'm not going to buy a jersey, but the NBA jerseys have had ads on since 2017, apparently, that generates over $150 million annually, which is a crazy amount of money. And also, if the NBA jerseys that you can buy online don't have ads on them, so you can buy an NBA jersey without the ad, and I would be surprised if NHL jerseys that are sold online and in stores will have the sponsor patches. It feels very much like that's a thing that is going to be on the game jerseys only. One thing that does worry me a little bit about the jersey ads, not to put politics into sport or whatever, I worry about the companies chosen because Chick-fil-A is a big NHL issue right now. And I know that one of the companies that sponsors Vegas Golden Knights, the Black Rifle Coffee Company, is yikes. I will let you guys Google that yourself, but that is, I don't know that I want those kind of ads on jerseys, so that worries me a little bit that the teams are gonna pick sponsorships like that when they should be going the other way. But like if your team wants to put a McDonald's logo on your jersey, like fine. It doesn't bother me. I don't know. Like maybe that is because I've grown up with that kind of ad stuff on jerseys and soccer shirts and things like that. But I don't know. At the end of the day, like it's not. And I don't go to a lot of NHL games. Obviously, you know, they're an entire ocean away. But even when I do go, it is a teeny tiny little 3-inch patch that is not going to impact my enjoyment of the game, especially not when I'm watching it on TV. Not when I'm watching it from the nosebleed seats at Nationwide. Like, I don't know, people seem like they're complaining about this. And I feel like, to go back to the revenue thing, I can't say for certain, but I suspect the same people that complain about how the cap hasn't gone up this year are the same people that are complaining about ads on jerseys. Like, the call is coming from inside the house, my guy. You know?
Exactly. And that's exactly it, is that, you know, we talked a lot about how the cap's going to be flat and a lot of teams are going to struggle underneath it. And if you're one of those, if you're a fan of one of those teams, like, this is good news for you. In addition with the ESPN deal, because I do think that the ESPN deal is going to get more eyeballs on the league and more people are going to get interested. And, you know, the NHL is going to have a little bit more marketing power when it comes to advertising and things like that. Everything is money. Everything's a business. So if you care about your team's cap and its ability to spend under it, I think this is something that you should, I don't want to say be on board with, because I know you're not going to, you know, like, we're such purists, hockey purists here. But, you know, I don't think we're at a point where we're going to see, you know, Emirates Airlines plastered on the red Montreal Canadiens jersey. That's not happening, right? You're going to see, like, in the corner, you're probably going to see, like, I know they already have Bell on the helmet, so I don't know who's going to be in the corner, like Desjardins, IGA, someone like that. Yeah, Saint-Hubert, like the chicken. That would be great. The chicken patch, like the Laval Rocket have, they'll match.
Yeah, like, people seem to be getting very, very upset about this. And I know that, like, melodrama is kind of how hockey fans get through their day, but it's really not that bad. And, like, it's, I don't know, if it helps the players make more money, then I'm okay with it. If it brings ticket prices down, I'm okay with it. I saw a tweet earlier, I think Sean Shapiro from The Athletic did an article a couple of weeks ago talking about how apparently players still owe team owners $1 billion, which,
yeah,
seems, well, that's evil exactly to it. Me that,
yeah,
that billionaires are complaining that they haven't got, like, a fraction of the amount of money that they already have, but that's beside the point. You know, and if jersey ads can kind of take the pressure off the players, meaning that they can get more money out of this, then I'm okay with that. So
I agree. I absolutely agree with you. Right. And that's the thing. Like, so it helps a lot of people. It's going to be an adjustment for us, but to be honest with you, like, if they're going to stay that small and they're going to be in the corner, I mean, I can't tell you a single NBA team sponsor.
Yeah,
even though, exactly, they have the patch and, like, on the corner of the jerseys. I literally cannot tell you.
I struggle to read the nameplates and the numbers on the backs of jerseys sometimes. I don't know that I'm going to notice the, like, I saw a really excellent, someone had photoshopped a Wawa ad onto a James Randi Dyke picture with the Flyers, which I thought was very good, you know, but, like, I'm not going to be able to see that. Like, get over yourselves. You know,
exactly. Like, I think if they start making them bigger, if they start plastering them on the actual, you know, on the chest or on the back, then we'll talk. But at this point, I understand why people are resistant to it. I don't think that it's worth getting that upset over, because it's if you want to say things like hockey's a business, then you kind of have to encompass all of it. And part of it is accepting patches of ads on jerseys.
Exactly. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC MMA action. I know right now BetOnline has odds for who is going to win the Metropolitan Division. Currently they're saying that Carolina has the best odds, so if you want to put some money on that, then go ahead and do that over at betonline.ag. Before the next pitch, head out to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. If you use promo code LOCKEDON, or one word, that is LOCKEDON, you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Once again, that is promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I've also got to tell you about Stat Hero. Did you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It is the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It is you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes. Winner take all. You have the advantage, and Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that, so you are in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3x back on your first play. That's right, they are giving you a 300% match, which is unheard of. Once again, go to stathero.com/lockedon. That is stathero.com/lockedon for a 300% match on your first play. So maybe the both most and least surprising trade of the last offseason was the Josh Anderson trade. I feel like we all knew he was probably on the way out of town. I heard a lot of rumors about who we might be getting back for him. That didn't make me any happier when last season we traded Josh Anderson for Max Domi of the Montreal Canadiens. And I kind of was proven right by the way that Josh Anderson played this season and the way that Max Domi played this season. So I thought, first of all, I thought I would give her the option to be a little bit smug about Josh Anderson, and then maybe we could break down the trade in a more measured way. But first, I thought I would give you, 30 seconds to a minute to enjoy how this trade went down.
I didn't expect much, to be honest. I knew that Josh Anderson's scouting report came with that injury caveat, right? We knew that he's a kind of player that if he reached his potential would be what we call a power forward. And we knew that Marc Bergevin is in love with the idea of power forwards. And he, by all accounts, seemed to be somebody who would develop into that. It's just that on his way there, he had a season that was completely derailed by injury. And it turned out so much better than we expected. We thought the contract was a little bit too long when Marc Bergevin signed him, especially given that we hadn't seen him play since that injury. And the fact that he really, really, really annoys Senators fans and Toronto Maple Leafs fans is literally just icing on the cake. I think, he's a very specific kind of player. He's a special type of player, as Allison Lucan, a favorite of both of our shows, has said. He is a very special player, and it's very specific. What his skill set is very specific, but he's very effective when he needs to be. I think if you don't expect the wrong things from him, this trade actually turned out to be a fleecing.
Oh, 100%. And I think I knew that coming in. In hindsight, again, it's frustrating in the same way that the Nudavara and Murray trades of the offseason were frustrating, because it felt like we were doing all of this to clear cap space to sign Dubois long term. And obviously, look how that worked out. But like, even if you look at the trade in a vacuum, which I don't tend to do, because I feel like, there are always other factors in a trade, but even if you look at the trade in a vacuum of Josh Anderson for Max Domi, one for one. Like, yes, we needed a center. I don't know that Max Domi is an NHL center. I think he's a guy that people put at center and have tried to make him into a center, and he just hasn't kind of turned into that. And he wasn't going to be able to sign long-term with us, and I think that's what he wanted, as evidenced by his, was it six-year contract, seven-year contract?
Seven-year
contract, yeah. So in a way, like, again, I don't know that I would have wanted to sign that contract for Josh Anderson. 7 years at 5 point something, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's 575.
Yeah, that is a big chunk of change for a guy who again played most of his last season with the Blue Jackets with like one working arm. And I think he only scored one or two goals in that season.
It was one goal. We heard so much about that one goal from all of the Leafs fans, the aforementioned Leafs fans that are now terrorized by the thought of Josh Anderson. They see him in their nightmares.
He lives rent-free in Toronto fans' heads. And I love that for him, honestly. But yeah, it was a lot of money for a guy that we didn't know what he was going to be like. After an injury, some guys, they get injured and they come back better. Some guys, I think about Tomas Hertl in San Jose. You know, he had that really awful knee injury and he hasn't really been the same since. Erik Karlsson hasn't really been the same since he his Achilles ruptured, you know? So I think it could have very well gone either way. It seems like it's gone in the way of the Canadians. Meanwhile, Max Domi sure did exist on the ice this season. I actually, when we were scheduling this episode earlier, I did DM Laura and was like, oh, it's fine if we push this back a couple hours. It gives me more time to think of things that Max Domi did this season that weren't just clothesline other players. In fairness to Domi, I think he and Anderson ended up with about the same amount of points. Let me look that. Well, I have the points right here. Anderson had 24 points this season in 52 games. Domi had 24 points in 54 games. So basically, you know, the same. Anderson had way more goals because that's what he does, is he scores goals. Mm-hmm. And he's a really fun player to watch on the ice. So, like, in fairness to Domi, their point production was basically the same if you just look at it point-wise. But his impact on the ice, I think, leaves a little to be desired.
I think context is what's important. And our listeners are sick of me saying, you know, context is what's important. But context is really what's important because, you know, what Josh Anderson was brought in to do was not be the guy, not be, you know, the guy creating the plays, not the playmaker or whatever. They brought him on and they're like, all right, we're going to play him with one of our centers. Hopefully he will see some chemistry with one of them. And what we really want is exactly what he does, which is barrel up the ice at full speed. And then before he slams himself into the boards, direct a puck at the net. And that's his move. And, you know, it's delightful to watch. He's very, like, his presence on the ice is huge. But the Canadians had the playmakers that they wanted, right? Like, they've got their Nick Suzuki, they've got their Jonathan Drouin. They had people that they knew would generate the offense, would be the playmakers, would sort of be like anchor the offense. Usually we talk about anchoring a defense, but, you know, they were going to be the driving force. And then Josh Anderson's job was going to be to show up in the right spot at the right time, be impossible to move off the puck, and then direct the puck at the net and make them go in. So yes, it's true that they had the same point totals, but Josh Anderson's point totals were sort of supplementary points, right? Whereas I feel like what the Blue Jackets were hoping to get in return for him was somebody who could be the guy. Like, not, I mean, they have Patrick Laine too, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like, the substantial offense did not come from Josh Anderson. He brought in addition to what other people brought. And obviously we're talking about a regular season here. And you talk about the playoffs, it was a whole different ball game. And that's when he really, really kind of shone. Like, when
in a minute, we are going to do a little bit of a mailbag. But first, I've got to tell you about Built Bar. Do you know Built Bar has a ton of delicious flavors? Of course you do. There is something for everyone at Built Bar. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they are definitely passionate about their favorites. For example, mine, mint brownie. It is delicious. It is clean. I had one for breakfast this morning and it was amazing. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you are missing out. They've got coconut, they've got raspberry, they've got orange, they've got salted caramel. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box, which is really cool. And that's where you get two of each flavors in one big box. When you've found out your favorite, you can pick you can get 18 bars of one flavor in a box. But until then, I definitely recommend the mixed box so you can find out what your favorite is. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're good for you as well. They've got 18 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, calories ranging from 130 to 180, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. And here's the best bit. If you go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Once again, that is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So, just a little bit of a short mailbag this time. I got a couple of questions. I got one from Caden, who wants to know when I think that Kent Johnson, Cole Sillinger, and Kirill Marchenko will be ready to sign with the Blue Jackets, or take the ice with the Blue Jackets, I should say. And a couple of those, easier than the other. Kent Johnson, I believe, is going back to Michigan. Cole Sillinger will probably go back to Sioux Falls. He's allowed to stay there until he's 21. I think he'll probably make the jump to at least the AHL before that. But those two seem... It's pretty easy. I believe those two will stay with their respective clubs, especially Kent Johnson, who I believe has committed to going back to Michigan. He reports next week. And we might have some exciting news coming in that regard in a couple of weeks' time. Kirill Marchenko, though, is the interesting one. He has been playing in Russia for the most part. He's coming over to take part in training camp. I will be surprised if he does not make the team. Honestly, I think he's a phenomenal player. I think he's what the team has been missing. I'm really excited to see him play. Obviously, you know, we've got a kind of a small Russian contingent that we're slowly building with Chinnikov, who I also expect to, if not make the Blue Jackets, to make the Monsters this season. He was our first round pick last season. But Marchenko, I feel like, is the guy that he could be a little bit of a game changer for the Blue Jackets this season, and I'm really excited to kind of see where he ends up. And then a friend of the show and fan of the show, Anna Shea, wants to know what my biggest concern for the roster is if opening night was tomorrow, and the thing I'm most excited about. I think the thing I'm most excited about is that top line of Laine and Voracek and literally whoever they put in the middle. I think if we can get those two guys working well together, then I think, you know, the Blue Jackets are going to be a very different kind of team. My biggest concern is the same as has been basically the entire time I've been a Blue Jacket, which is center depth. We don't have any. Last year, I was really confident going in about the center depth. We had Dubois, Domi, Koivu, and then Riley Nash as our fourth line guy. And now we have one of those guys who might not even be playing center for most of the season. So it's really tough to figure any of that out. That's my biggest concern is center depth. I know, you know, we have a lot of guys that can play center. I don't know if we have any guys that can play number one center with Laine and Voracek. If they turn out to do okay together, then I don't know that it matters as much. It still matters, but it is less of a concern if we can get those two guys going. But right now, our center depth is something that I am really, really concerned about. I think we might have some surprises in camp. I'm hoping that Texier can take a step forward with his center development. I'm hoping that Jack Roslovic can continue his center development. As I talked about with Laura, I hope that we can kind of get Max Domi to a level where he can be, if not a number one center, then, you know, competitive. But yeah, that's definitely my worry right now is, in fact, that number one center spot, as well as the number two center spot, the number three center spot, and the number four center spot. So we'll see how it goes, I guess. Like I said, kind of a short mailbag today. Not a ton of questions. That's fine. I have plenty of other content, but I do appreciate all of your questions. And I think that's all the time I have for today. So thanks for listening. I've been Jay Foster. You can find me on Twitter at _JacobFoster, JakobFoster. You can find the podcast at LO_BlueJackets and wherever you get your podcasts. Tomorrow, I will have more of my conversation with Laura Saba of Locked On Canadiens about the Josh Anderson Max Domi trade. We'll get into Max Domi's development a little bit more, why we think he stumbled, things like that. And it's a real fun time. So until tomorrow, make sure you stay locked on.